Message this morning is found in Isaiah 48, verses 17 through 22. Isaiah 48, 17 through 22. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that in this Advent season, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, that you came for a purpose, that you came that we might have new life, that you came that we might be in right relationship with you. You came that we might be saved. But God, you just didn't come to save us. You came to transform us, to renew us, to make us holy, to make us righteous, to make us justified in your sight. And Lord, that you sent your Holy Spirit to fill us, to indwell us, to strengthen us, God. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, this morning, I just pray that we hear your word. Not only here, but Lord, that we be doers of your word. And God, that any distraction, anything that would pull us in another direction, God, Lord, that you would take that away, Lord, and that you would help us to hear the word that you have. Lord, let me communicate with clarity. Lord, I ask that you just bless us, that you be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 48. I'm starting at 17th verse. It says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If you only had paid attention to my commandments, then you would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And your descendants would be like the sand, and your offspring like grains. Their name would never be cut off from or destroyed from my presence. Go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. Declare with the sound of joyful shouting, proclaim this. Send it to the end of the earth, say to the Lord the Redeemed, his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when they were led through deserts. He made them water flow out of the rock. He split the rock and the waters gushed. There is no peace for the wicked, said the Lord. Thank you, God. My message this morning is entitled The Gift of Peace. The Gift of Peace. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the different gifts that we receive as Christians because of Jesus coming to the earth. And so if you look at verse 18 here in the NASB, it says, then your well-being would have been like a river. Actually, it's in Hebrew, probably a more, this is ironic. This is one of the few places that the NASB is not literal, but literally it would say your peace would be like a river. Amen. How many need peace like a river that just flows? It never stops. It's just always moving. It's fresh, right? So, but what is peace? Okay. We talk a lot about peace. And a lot of times when we think of peace, we think of the absence of conflict, right? And when we see war, in times of war, we talk about peace, right? We look at what's going on in Israel, in Palestine, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in the Middle East, or in Olympic years, the Olympics were to celebrate peace. But what is peace? Okay. Peace is much more than the absence of conflict. Okay. You can have the absence of conflict in your life and you still not have the peace. So when we talk about peace, we're talking about the Hebrew word shalom. And the Hebrew word shalom is much more, it has a much richer, much more complex meaning than just the simple negation of conflict. And so you may not have conflict, but you still may not have God's peace. So, and even I'll tell you a lot of times that the peace that is often described as this warm feeling, this a feeling of contentment, this feeling of I have the things that I need. And there's an aspect to peace that that has those things where you're content, You're not in want. You're not anxious, right? There's this access to peace that we think of peace as of lacking anxiousness and lacking this worry. And so, and we live in a day and a time when there's a lot to be anxious about. There's a lot to worry about. We, you know, God forbid you watch the news, you find more to be anxious about. But peace is much richer than that. The Hebrew word for shalom is much richer than just this this absence of anxiousness. And so really it is this wholeness, this completeness that is found in God. It's not only mentally, okay? It's physically, it's spiritually, it's around you as well. So it touches all aspects of your life. It touches all areas that you are a part of. But let me tell you what the shalom of God, the peace of God is it's just this wholeness. But a lot of times we think that it's the absence of conflict around us. It's the absence of things to be anxious about. And that's not necessarily true. We're going to find out that God will give us peace in the midst of chaos. That everything will be going on around us, craziness will be going on, and there's a million things to be anxious about, and there's things people trying to bring conflict towards us, and God still gives us His shalom, His peace that brings restoration. That we, you know, part of being in shalom with God is that you're in right relationship with Him, you're in right standing. And so, you know, shalom is really this kind of idea of not only that you have all these things that touches us mentally, physically, spiritually, the world around us, but it's also a highlight of what we're going to experience in heaven. It's just a bit of a precursor of what we will see when we get to heaven, where we will experience God's ultimate peace. So our first point is that peace comes from God. Verse 17, it says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord of God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should." Peace comes from God. It doesn't come from no one else, okay? Peace does not come from all your hard work. Now, there's times that we do things that allow us to be to experience the shalom of God. I'm not saying that we don't affect it, because verse 18 says, "Oh, only if you had paid attention to my commandments." Okay? So you have to understand what's going on here in the book of Isaiah. You can basically split the book of Isaiah in two. You have 1 through 39. This is everything that they're experiencing prior to their being sent to Babylon. Basically, chapter 40 and on is this, you know, depending on how you read, either it's prophetic of telling them what it's going to be like in Babylon, or it's this experience of the God redeeming them out of Babylon, okay? But He's saying, if you only if you would have listened to my commands, if you would have did what I had, you would not have been sent to exile. You would not have been sent to a foreign country. You would not be among a foreign people who mock you. You would not be in this place where it is chaotic and you're surrounded by false gods and false deities and false ideas that mock what you do. But peace comes from God and comes from God alone, okay? No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, you cannot give yourself peace, okay? The harder you try to give yourself peace, a lot of times the crazier you become. So peace comes from God, and it comes from God alone, okay? Peace does not come because you came from the right family. Peace does not come because you live in the right neighborhood. Peace does not come because you have the right bank account. Peace does not come because you have the right job. Peace does not come because you have the right experiences in life. Now, all these things can contribute to happiness. All these things can contribute to a better life. All these things can contribute to what the world understands as peace. But God's peace, supernaturally, supersedes all of those things, because it's like peace, like a river. Everything may be chaotic going around it, but the peace is still there. The peace is flowing. The peace is there. It's gentling your heart. It's gentling your mind in a time of chaos, probably in a time when you need it most. That peace of God is there. So, peace of God. Peace comes from God alone. It brings us to the second point. God gives us peace in the midst of chaos. Now, I'm not saying that our life is just in chaos all the time. Because that's not the case. And God surely gives us peace in those times of refreshing, okay? Those times when there is an absence of conflict. There's a time of absence of chaos. There's peace in that time. And we definitely understand that. But sometimes we just have to understand that God gives us the peace, gives us peace in the midst of chaos. And that is, Judah at this time, they lived in chaos, okay? You had some people who were left behind, and not were they left behind, but they were left behind by hostile nations who wanted to take their land and take over. But then you had a group of people who were brought out into exile. They were brought to a faraway country, and they had to learn a foreign language, and they had to eat different foods, and they had to engage in different lifestyles. And at times they were mocked. You read Psalm 137, you see that they were mocked in Babylon, and the Babylonians tried to take their children, and they tried to instruct them in the ways of being Babylonian, and they tried to instruct them in the Babylonian gods, and they lived in this tension and in this chaos and all of this going on. And so a lot of times we would just say, oh, well, we got to give up, or we give in and we become just like the culture, And one of the things that Israel had to learn how to do is they had to learn how to thrive in Babylon. It didn't mean they became Babylonian. It didn't mean that they took on everything that the Babylonians did, but they learned how to thrive in chaos because they learned that the God who was with them in the Exodus, the God who was with David, the God who was with Hezekiah, was still the same God that they were depending on to see what they thought is in. After Hezekiah, that the God, because God had built his temple and his ark was there, and we think that they actually had set up the tabernacle inside of the Holy of Holies, and we think, or at least in the temple, and they had all these images and all these things that they put their trust in and their hope in. Instead of being faithful to God and serving God, they put their trust in these ideas and in these images of what God was, and God destroyed, and God allowed those things to be destroyed. He was, I think he was saying that, hey, do not put your trust in a building. Do not put your trust in symbols. Do not put your trust in these things, but put your trust in me. And so, in all the midst of this, they're in chaos. They're in Babylon. The whole world is going crazy around them. Does it sound like our world sometimes? There's times when we watched a world and we watched the news and it looked like our world was on fire and it looked like just the world was going crazy around us. So you think about George Floyd. If you went out and stood in our front yard, you could see smoke rising up like we were in some type of war zone. If you were to go down Lake Street or other places, it looked like there was a battle there. Cars were on fire, things were burning. It would just shock and just scare people because the world was chaotic and just we didn't know what to make of it, what was going to come out of this. But yeah, God gave peace in the midst of that. Okay. And so when those things are going crazy, it's easy to give up. It's easy to throw in a towel. It's easy to become like the world around us, to try to adopt their model of peace, try to adopt their model of worshiping God, trying to adopt their model of living and things. But we have to understand as Christians that we have to learn how to thrive in Babylon. Thriving in Babylon doesn't mean we become like Babylon, but it means that we've learned how to thrive and how to worship God and how to have a relationship with God and how to be Christian in the midst of persecution, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of people looking at us like we are the enemy or we are not faithful or we are not following their system. But we figure out how to thrive in that because God is still with us, God is still in the midst of us. Just like, he's telling them, I'm the Holy One. I'm your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Okay. He said, you would have been like a river. Your well-being, your peace would be like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. The waves of righteousness, they just keep coming. Waves don't stop. They may become more intense. They may lessen with intensity, but waves don't stop in an ocean. There may be times you go out to a lake And there may be very rarely where it's just this pristine word like this. There's looks like glass. I don't know. Doesn't happen in the ocean. There's always waves coming. And God's, what he's saying is the righteousness of God does not stop, that it keeps coming. It keeps making us right. It keeps transforming us. He said, but if you would have paid attention, okay? If you would have paid attention, if you would have been faithful, if you would have stayed in my peace, these things would have happened. You'd have peace like a river, righteousness like the waves of the sea. He said your descendants would have been like sand, and your offspring like its grains. He's saying the blessings that I would put on you would be so numerous that you can't count them. You go to the beach and try to count all the sand. I could lift up the sand in a cup. Okay, we could get you a cup of sand. You'd have a hard time counting that, let alone the whole beach. Okay. Or we could do the same thing with wheat. You'd have a hard time counting the wheat. The point is that God's blessings were so much, it would overflow that they couldn't count it. And they wouldn't even try to attempt to count it because God's hand was so good upon them. And that's one of the gifts of peace, is that when Jesus came, okay, and that peace of God that we see in the Old Testament has been superseded by the peace of God that Jesus brings, because it was transformed and he gives us his Holy Spirit who dwells on us. We no longer need an Ark of the Covenant. We no longer need a tabernacle. We no longer need a temple, because we, the people, our God, are his dwelling place, the place where he dwells, the place where he comes, where he empowers, he strengthens, he renews, he redeems, he sets free. So God gives us peace in the midst of chaos. Look at what he says. Go forth from Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans. Declares with the sound of a joyful shouting, proclaim this, send it to the end of the earth. Say to the Lord, the redeemed, his servant Jacob. Point three, the peace of God transforms us. Okay? I'm not talking about the peace of the world by any stretch of the imagination. I'm talking about that peace of God when you come to know Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. There's something about that that transforms us, that we have peace that people don't understand. We have a peace that surpasses understanding. They don't understand. We could be in chaos, but yet we're peaceful. Things are going on around us, and they don't understand. Hey, how can you hold your peace? Is there something wrong with you? Are you callous? No, because there's just something about God being on the inside of me and transforming me that I have a different type of peace, that shalom, that wholeness, that completeness, that I know that God is going to work it out in the end. I mean, this is the only game that you can watch a football game, you can watch a basketball game, you can watch a baseball game or a soccer match. You may think you know who's going to win at the beginning, but guess what? Every blue moon, that team that no one thinks is going to win, that team that's they're terrible, they've only got one or two wins all season, they shock and beat that really good team, right? So you might say, this team's going to win, but you don't know for sure, okay? But in a Christian life, if you walk with Jesus, you know that you win. Now, you know at the very beginning that you win. There's no chance of you losing, because we've seen the end of the book. We see that he comes back in glory. We see that he comes back with angels. We see that we dwell with him. We see that we're there at the wedding supper of the Lamb. We see that God has transformed us and renew us. We have already won the game. We just have to be faithful and do what the coach tells us to do. This peace of God transforms us. Look, these are people. Israel was, or Judah was in a time, they were in captivity, they were in Babylon. He says, declare with the sound of a joyful shouting, proclaim this, send it to the end of the earth. God is, he's redeeming his people. He's bringing them back to Jerusalem. He's bringing them back to his holy place. The Lord has said, redeem, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the desert. Okay, he's talking about the Exodus here. They didn't thirst when they needed water. He made water flow from the rock. He tells Moses to strike it the first time, and the water comes out. The next time, he tells him to speak to it. Well, Moses doesn't speak to it. He hits it again and he gets in trouble. But God provided while they were in the desert. He brought water. He brought manna. He brought quail. He did not let his people go. And he's telling them again, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you starve as you're coming back. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to be there, that my presence will be there. There may not be a pillar of cloud before you. There may not be a pillar of fire with you. But what the people of Israel here didn't have is they didn't have the God putting his Holy Spirit inside of you. You don't need a pillar of fire. You don't need a pillar of cloud because God dwells within you. So he is with you wherever you go. Okay. We used to have a saying, you know, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. I think the point is make sure that you're bringing Christian behavior with you, because guess what? You can't leave him behind. Okay. You might ignore him. You might ignore his counsel. You might ignore his nudges. But he's with you. If you're a believer, he is with you everywhere you go. Okay. You could be in the midst of a robbery. He's there with you. You could be in the midst of trying to go out and sin. Guess what? He's there with you. So keep that in mind. Next time you're sinning, he is right there with you. He's gone along with you. His peace transforms us. Look what he says at the very end. He says, there's no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. This peace of God, this shalom, this wholeness, this completeness, this transformative thing, okay, that it comes from God alone. It's there in the midst of chaos. It's there in the best of times. It's there in the worst of times, right? And that peace that transforms, that peace that redeems us, that sets us free, that allows us to walk in the freedom of Christ, that breaks the chains of addiction, that breaks the shackles of addiction and sin and everything else. The world doesn't have it, and they can't have it. Why? Because right here he says, the wicked, there is no peace for the wicked. There is no shalom for them. They're going to be anxious. They're going to have anxiety. You know, even in the best of times, they don't have peace. And so God, and this is what we're talking about, the gift of peace, he brings the peace, you know, and this peace of God is connected to salvation. When we come to know Jesus, we receive peace, okay? We receive all kinds of things, but one of these gifts is peace, and the world does not have it. Those who don't know Jesus don't have it, and they never will have it until they know Jesus. They can have the absence, okay? They can have the absence of conflict. They can have the absence of anxiety. They can feel good about their world, but they don't have the peace of God. They don't have that wholeness, that completeness, that shalom that is only found in God. Go to our big idea. Peace is experiencing God's wholeness in your life. Now, I'll be honest, there's just some Christians who have not experienced God's wholeness in their life. Okay. For whatever reason, sin, whatever it is, okay. But peace is experiencing God's wholeness in your life. It transforms, it renews, it sets free, it does all of these things for us. Christian peace is different than secular peace. We've established that, okay? The world's view of peace is vastly different than Christian peace, biblical peace, the shalom of God. It's so much different. So my question as we close out is, do you have the peace of God? Do you have God's peace? Have you been transformed? Do you have God's shalom? Has his wholeness taken your heart? Are you practicing the peace of God? What does that mean to practice the peace of God? Okay. Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Okay. You know, and I do realize we cannot prevent every conflict. Okay. If we could prevent every conflict, we would just show up in the Middle East. The conflict would cease. We'd go to Ukraine. The conflict would cease. Okay. But I'm talking about in your everyday personal life. Those are big world things, okay? Those are things that we as the body of Christ have to pray for and plead for and fast for. and get boots on the ground to help to participate in this. But we also know that we live in a world of sin, and sin fights against the things of God. But I'm saying, in your world, in your everyday context, are you practicing the peace of God? Are you being a peacemaker? Okay. Are you helping others to find Jesus? Are you helping others to find God's shalom in Jesus? Okay. And this is how we peacemake in the world, that we are peaceable people. We are peacemakers. We share Jesus. We love on people. We serve. We bless. We make the world around us better. If we're not doing all those things that our Christian walk, something is missing. One of the beautiful things about Christianity in the early church is that Christianity blessed the world around it, even when the world around it wanted to curse Christianity. It mocked Christianity. It called Christianity names. They called Christians atheists. They accused them of terrible things. They said Christians were terrible people, and they didn't like Christians. But Christians transformed the world around them. Christians took in the sick. Christians prayed for people. They fed people. They fed the sick. They fed the lowly. They did all these things. They were peacemakers. They practiced peace in the world. They not only did they tell people about Jesus, but they showed people Jesus. So one of the things that you do by practicing peace is you just don't tell people about Jesus. You show them Jesus. So I'm going to ask two questions as we go to prayer. Do you have the peace of God? And if so, are you practicing the peace of God? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, I thank you for peace. I thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that is like a river. It just continues to flow. It doesn't stop. It's fresh. It's renewed, God. It's there every day. It's there in the midst of chaos, God. I thank you for peace. Lord, let us receive peace. Let us be peacemakers. Let us practice the peace of God in our everyday lives, God. Lord, give us peace now. Bless us, keep us, watch over us. I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.